Tonight on AEW Rampage, Red Death Daniel Garcia will wrestle in his fourth main event on Rampage. I was lucky enough to see Daniel Garcia wrestle on the indie circuit for a period of time. A lot of people won't know this, but he was actually trained by Pepper Parks, the Blade of AEW and the Butcher and the Blade. While gaining experience and learning on the indie circuit, a car carrying four members of the independent wrestling group, the Buffalo Brothers, was involved in a terrifying automobile accident. Garcia was one of those casualties, nearly missing death by centimeters and recovering quickly. And when I say quickly, he's back at it in 6 months. And after the 6 months, he continued to get better and better, and eyes were getting on him. He was being noticed. And then in 2020, Tony Khan beamed the tryout in AEW, and the story just gets bigger from there. Wrestlers have a bucket list on who they would like to wrestle in their career. Most wrestlers maybe get to wrestle a few. In the last 2 months, Daniel Garcia has went through most wrestlers' bucket lists. People like Minoru Suzuki, Jon Moxley, Darby Allin, CM Punk, and tonight, Eddie Kingston. Does Red Death Daniel Garcia have enough to take down the Mad King? Well, you're gonna have to listen to us and find out. This is Dark Side of the Elite Rampage Rollout. Hey everybody, it's the Dark Side of the Elite. My name is Randy.
Matt Roberts is here.
And I'm General Ring Announcer. I'm just kidding. It's America.
This podcast is scheduled for one fall.
Yeah, shoot. Ring Announcer is not here.
Oh yeah, our mascot's not here today. But hey everybody, listening on the free feed and listening through Sunday Night Main Event. If you're listening on the free feed, make sure to go to patreon.com SNME radio and sign up now. It's only $1 a week. You're listening to this free, but if you like it and you want to support everybody with the team, go there, sign up. Trust me.
Less than the cost of a cup of coffee.
That's it. Right? And you get a lot of good shows. Midweek Markout, BAM, NXT Talk.
Smack Daddies.
Smacking it up. They're great today, by the way.
Yeah. Not to mention Joe and Dan.
And Joe and Dan, the old fucks, to do the Dynamite show. Another great crew. So, yeah, go sign up now if you like this and tell your friends about it and check out our socials. But how was everybody's week?
Eric?
It's all right.
Almost got your arm chopped off, didn't you?
Yeah, I was reaching into the machine at work, and I shouldn't have been. But I'm all good. The arm's still here. The fingers are still
he's
here.
Still so. Got two arms, yeah. Good to go.
Yeah, he's the same. What about yours, Matt?
Not too much to report on my life. I work in midnights right now, so it's just sleeping during the day, get up, have something to eat, and go back to work at midnight every single night. So yeah. Been burning the midnight oil, as they say, and I don't think I've seen the sun in about 3 weeks right now. So I think it's going to be another 4 months before I do.
Pretty much. We did actually record our BTE podcast.
Yes.
This week,
yeah,
which we do every week. I don't know what day it comes out. It kind of changes week to week, but
yeah, we're on our own schedule with that one. Yeah. A little bit. We try to have it by like later in the week, like between Thursday and Saturday, kind of thing.
Yeah, but if everybody wants to check it out, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, you name it.
Yeah, the three of us have been back on the BT rotation now for, what's this, three episodes we've been back on?
Yeah,
it?
Three or yeah. Four now, yeah. So.
Yeah, so each and every week, if you're down with the BT and the whole BT universe, that's the one-stop shop if you want to get in on the discussion. So check us out over there.
Yeah, just look up Dark Side of the Elite on all those and you'll definitely find us. You guys want to know how my week was?
Let's hear it, Rand. How was your week, bro?
I went to a lot of indie wrestling this week. Well, yeah. Since last Saturday till last night. I watched and was part of a lot of indie wrestling. indie wrestling to me is really, really big. If it wasn't for indie wrestling, AEW wouldn't exist realistically.
For sure. I mean, you have Young Bucks and that made that their entire being now.
That's right.
You know, just being on indies and ROH and New Japan, like those were considered indie promotions, I guess, but on a bigger scale.
New Japan was kind of like a major promotion, but based out of Japan or whatever. But and just indie wrestling is the like the ground level of getting into like all the big stars throughout most of the history of wrestling. At least started somewhere like that, where you learn the craft, you learn the tricks of the trade, and you work your way up. So it's important to support it because that gives a lot of the athletes a spot to hone their craft.
Right. So like, even if you think of the main event that we're going to talk about in a minute tonight, Daniel Garcia 2 years ago was on the indie scene, killing it. Actually, 2 years ago, he was in a car accident. But
Of the Buffalo Boys
car accident, Buffalo Boys, yeah. But let's talk about this last week, the indie scene has been absolutely amazing. I saw a lot of great matches. I went to indie promotion here in Toronto, PWO. I watched Crossbody Pro Wrestling last night. They were all doing fundraisers for a big indie wrestler here in Ontario. Scotty O'Shea, hacker, anti-hero, whatever you want to call him. The guy's been around the Ontario indie scene and been, what would you call him? A mentor to a lot of the guys growing up, like Daniel Garcia and everything. Right. He was in matches with him. Unfortunately, a month and a bit ago, an unfortunate circumstance happened with him. He had a brain tumor, had to be put into the hospital right away. He's still recovering from it. He's still in the hospital. From what I'm hearing, he's doing a lot better, but a lot of these promotions are doing fundraisers and everything else for him to make sure when he gets out, he'll get back in the ring and everything will be okay. But again, go support. It doesn't make a difference if you're in Ontario. It doesn't make a difference where you are in the world. Go support the indie wrestling because, again, you won't see the Daniel Garcias, the Darby Allins, the MGFs, the 2.0.
Ethan Page.
Right, so I'm just going to give some examples for Ontario. There's PWO, Crossbody Pro Wrestling, Barry Wrestling, Alpha One, HWE, Destiny Wrestling, Battle Arts Pro. Yeah. The list can go on and on. So you look them up on YouTube, share some support, watch some great wrestling, and enjoy it. But yeah, it was a week. I'm wrestled out almost.
That's awesome though, man.
I'm wrestled out almost.
You know what? I'm just so happy that shows are coming back now. Like indie shows altogether. Like we were talking about, I think on our first episode here, we were talking about how we went to HWE. Well, me and Randy did and Destiny in one weekend. You know what I mean?
Right,
and both great, fantastic shows. Right. So, I mean, I'm just happy that there's somewhere for us to go and watch.
Yeah, it's been so long, right? And the Destiny show being a Halloween show was a lot of fun too. Seeing everyone, all the fans dressed up in all their wrestling Halloween costumes or whatever. So
not to mention that was cool. Not to mention a sweet, sweet cage match between Kobe Durst and Aiden Prince.
It was a great show. It was a lot of fun. Even though Doc Gallows couldn't make it, we got a nice surprise with Mike Speedball Bailey and him signing a contract with Impact at the end. So that was really cool.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. I forget where I was going with this.
Support Hacker.
Yeah, support Hacker. Go watch indie wrestling. Again, we'll see in the main event tonight why indie wrestling is so important. So I guess should we get this started?
Rampage rollout. Let's do it.
Dark Side of the Elite.
What's the matter, Hangman? Can't sleep.
Cowboy shit!
I need my
older brother!
Who the fuck is Rip Garrison?
You are now listening to Dark Side of the Elite with Randy Charpentier, Eric Reed, and Matt Roberts.
AEW Rampage. It's November 26th, 2021, hailing from Chicago, Illinois, at the sold-out Wintrust Arena. On commentary this week, we got Excalibur, Chris Jericho, and Taz with Ricky Starks.
Chris Jellicoe.
I wanted to ask you guys what you think about Ricky Starks on commentary, because, like, I don't know. It kind of feels like he doesn't bring too much to the table.
He's not really. He's just kind of there. Yeah. Like, he's not bad, but he's also not, like, great either. Like, he's just kind of middle of the road, I think. You know what I mean?
The fact that he's there so much has me a little worried about the real condition of that neck injury he had, eh? Because he hasn't been wrestling that often, has he?
He had that match against Brian Cage. How long ago was that? That was, like, 2 months ago?
Not much since then, right?
I think last week he actually had himself and Will Hobbs were in a tag team on AEW Dark.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it was last week. That was one of his first matches back.
Right. So I hope he's okay, because I thought they were aiming for a match with Punk in Starks too. Because when Punk was tied up with Team Taz there and he wrestled Will Hobbs, I thought Starks would be like the next step, but that kind of never came about.
But with Excalibur as the lead, it's nothing against JR, but with JR being out for a little bit, I always loved Excalibur. So Excalibur on the lead is fine with me.
I guess we should send some well wishes to Jim Ross too. I think they announced he's going to be off until probably the new year.
To get treatment for
For his skin cancer. Yeah. So all the best to Jim Ross, like true legend in the business. Back to Excalibur. He fits the AEW style like completely of what they're looking for as a lead guy. I think kind of the problem, I think, with the commentary team a little bit, it's like on Dynamite, you have 3 play-by-play guys, no color guy.
Yeah.
And on Rampage, sure, you have 3 color guys.
And right? 1 play-by-play guy.
Kind of thing, right? It's a little, 4 guys is a little bit of a crowded booth, but
yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that off the top before we get into it here.
I mean, hey, I got no problem with Taz, that's for sure.
Yeah. If it was just Excalibur and Taz, I think that would be fine.
Yeah, I think that would be good too.
But, first match of the show, you know it's all about the Budge.
Budge.
The infamous Bobby Fish and Adam Cole are teaming up, and they're going up against best friends Orange Cassidy and their protege, Wheeler Yuta. Right off the bat, commentary is putting over Cole and Fish as one of the best teams in the world, and that how they've traveled all over the world together. So they're really hitting home that relationship between the two, like kind of hinting at that undisputed era history between them. Because I think we talked last week how Cole and Fish, that was apparently the first time they ever actually teamed together. So them hammering home how they're like such a dominant team with all this history, it's hinting at that undisputed era reunion. And I can't help but think Kyle O'Reilly's coming in to kind of expand this a little bit.
December 10th.
Right?
Winter is coming.
But
again.
every year
it keeps happening. It's supposed to snow in about 10 minutes. We'll see.
Yeah, they get all the snow stuck in your hair like Sting. He always looks like he's got a hair covered in dandruff out there.
Yeah.
But Jericho says, or points out too, this is a Black Friday edition too of Rampage for all of our friends down in the States there. And Jericho says it's not Black Friday, it's Orange Friday, and Taz gets hot because anytime Orange comes up, that's gimmick infringement for Taz, which is always hilarious. If you guys seen Taz on Sammy Guevara's vlog, Sammy made orange gear for Halloween, and Taz was like blowing a gasket.
Oh, really?
That's my color, Sammy! But it's always funny. But Jericho also puts over how much this match means to each of these two guys, because they've both been impressive in terms of Wheeler Yuta and Bobby Fish. And AEW always does a good job of putting focus on matches for guys and the importance to them, like even if they're not in the main event.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a huge match for Yuta. I mean, like since, I mean, he had those 2 matches on Dynamite when he first started.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, when have you really seen him? Yeah. Other than it's just a lackey, really.
Like, it's going to be a good showcase for him, right?
Yeah.
So the match starts off with Yuta and Bobby Fish in there, a little catch-as-catch-can wrestling off the top. Commentary plugs the upcoming Battle of the Belts as well, where I guess all the titles will be on the line.
January 8th.
Okay. And so Orange Cassidy tags in early, and he's still wearing his shades, so he's wrestling in sunglasses.
Always.
And he goes for his usual pockets gimmick, where he's reaching for the pockets, stopped by Adam Cole. And it's funny to me still that the Orange Cassidy gimmick still works on all the heels. It always ends up making them look a little stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, So often I'm just like, just punch him right in the face.
I know, yeah. Why, like, why are you letting him put his hands in his pockets? Just punch him out.
Right?
It's so different, though. That's what makes it so great.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I'm just kind of playing with that. But as we're going along here, Jericho says that Bobby Fish looks like the miserable guy at the end of the bar who'd punch you in the face. And Ricky Starks is like, says he looks like an old school boxer.
That's my joke.
Right. They've been listening to us.
I mean, we were kind of saying gangs in New York or whatever, but, or did you say boxer?
I might have said, barber.
Barber. Bobby the Barber Fish.
I think I said hipster barber. Exactly.
So moving along here, Cole and Fish isolate Wheeler Yuta, cutting the ring in half as we go to a break. Coming back from the break, Fish and Yuta are down, but Fish tags in Cole, who gets tossed outside immediately, but pulls Orange Cassidy off of the apron, preventing Yuta from getting the tag. And this whole time, too, Knox should have been counting Fish or like trying to tell him to get out of the ring. Because he tagged out and just stayed in the ring, and Knox is just standing there.
Dear job, Schultz.
Yeah, Fish is just still in the ring. I'm like, I'm watching this. I'm like, didn't Cole just tag in? Like, why is Fish in there and Knox just didn't do anything? I don't know.
It's so indicative sometimes of AEW. It's you almost have to kind of suspend yourself in disbelief.
Tag
when it comes
matches,
to that.
The rules just go out the window too often. That's for one criticism of AEW for me, like as a details guy, like that would be kind of be one of them for me. But Fish and Cole, they continue to dominate, but Yuta gets a hope spot as he nails a double drop kick and gets a lukewarm tag to Orange Cassidy. Not a hot tag. Taz even says zero sense of urgency by Orange Cassidy, but that's to be expected, right?
Absolutely.
Cassidy comes in for his weak-ass kicks to Cole and Fish's ass. And he nails a double Hurricane Rana and springs off of, I think, Cole for a tornado DDT onto Bobby Fish.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Right? We had stereo dives to the outside by Yuta and Orange Cassidy. Cassidy going through the middle rope and Yuta off the top turnbuckle to the outside. Staz and Starks. Taz and Starks have been impressed by Yuta so far. Like, oh, maybe they're looking to recruit another guy because they're good at stealing other guys' members or other teams' members.
Yeah. Well, just Dante Martin so far.
Well, yeah. I guess they recruited Powerhouse Hobbs back in the day too, but he wasn't part of a faction.
No.
So we're trading lots of moves, a lot of tags. Bobby Fish attacking the leg of Orange Cassidy. Cole hits a huge flying knee strike, which was awesome. Bobby Fish traps Orange Cassidy in a knee bar, and Adam Cole tries to block Wheeler Yuta, who sneaks by Cole and manages to break up the submission. Orange Cassidy hits his beach break, sets up for the orange punch, but gets countered into an exploder suplex. Wheeler Yuta tags in, gets a couple of two counts. Lots of like quick tags here. No heat to any of them or build up. Just tons of moves and guys in and out real quick.
Yeah.
Before we finally get to the finish here, and it's an avalanche Falcon Arrow by Bobby Fish off the top to pin Wheeler Yuta 1-2-3.
Great match. Fun.
Yeah, it was a fun match. Actually, I was very impressed with Yuta on this one because it's been a while since I've seen him actually have a showcase, period. Like, I think the last match he had was against Wardlow and he just got pumped.
Yes. Yeah.
It made both teams look strong and fun at the same time.
They showed off like their strengths of everyone in the match. Cassidy and Yuta do make for like a good team. Like they have like a weird chemistry there between them. We don't know much about Wheeler Yuta as a character or anything.
Yeah.
He's just some dude out there in a brown like winter jacket and like tennis shoes.
Yeah. And speaking of Yuta, you saw him during the match when Orange Cassidy was doing like the thumbs and the tag. Yuta was like putting his arms up like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing it? He did it like three or four times
in
that match.
He's playing off of him, right?
And then there was one moment too where Orange Cassidy throws, I think it was Cole into the corner. And then Orange is like slowly moving to the corner.
Yeah, he slowly saunters in.
And Yuta's doing like back and forth from corner to corner moves on him. So I thought, again, like it looked really good and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Cole and Fish finally getting a strong win. Like I've been a little worried for Bobby Fish. He's been getting his ass beat like every week on TV. And I'm surprised like Bobby Fish, there was no reaction to the fact that Adam Cole just left him hanging last week. When he ran away with the Young Bucks after getting chased around the ring like cartoon characters.
That's right. And they're on a streak. They're 1-2.
That's right. 1-2.
Yeah, Cole and Fish.
Oh, one of the most dominant tag teams in the world.
They're 1-2.
Hey, what you call it? He's too busy worrying about his Oscar acceptance speech for Gangs of New York. Yeah. Moving on from there, though, we have a little segment where we have AEW superfan, sorry, the premier athlete, Tony Nese, challenging Sammy Guevara for the TNT title. And he throws like a really nasty cheap shot on Sammy. Sammy comes out and sort of interrupts his promo. And he throws a really nasty cheap shot right in the ribs, in those injured ribs of Sammy.
It was kind of funny because every challenge Sammy's got for the TNT title, like 2 seconds later, Sammy's like, yeah, what about it? I accept. Let's do it. Yeah. And this time he just gets popped right in the face.
On the ground.
Yeah. I love it too. It'd be like one of those things like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And then just kicks him right in the nuts.
Yeah.
But Tony Nese kind of leans over him while he's on the ground. He says, the only reason you even have that title is because guys like me weren't here to stop you from getting it and get it first.
I was on a 90-day no-compete clause.
Yeah, pretty much is what he's saying. So it's, I mean, a little shot at Sammy there, and like, not to mention like setting up a great kind of like, yeah, it's an open challenge, but it's actually giving like a little bit of backstory. Whereas like the Jay Lethal was the last one he did, right?
It was just a cold match.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, well, Jay Lethal's in AEW, so now he has to fight you. Like, you know,
one issue I kind of have with these TNT challenges and debuting guys with them is they have to lose their first match almost, right? Because I don't think Tony Nese or Jay Lethal was going to take the belt off Sammy yet.
No.
So like, here's your debut match and you lose right away. It's on a big stage with a big platform, and like, and it's going to be a good match.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said in negatively maybe about having guys lose right away, or it could just be that's the way wrestling's always been and it's not that big a deal. But what do you guys think about that?
Well, if it's a bigger name like Jay Lethal, Tony Nese isn't the big, like, to me, there's two different levels from Tony Nese and Jay Lethal. But remember when Cody did it and it was like,
War Horse. That's how Eddie Kingston debuted.
Right, like, that's another one.
It didn't hurt Kingston to lose his first match to Cody, right? Yeah, he's as over as anybody.
So it depends the level of the person coming in.
And how it's done, I guess.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So I guess it goes to break after that. And when we return from break, we see a vignette, including highlights of the recent action while FTR talks about the Lucha Bros and ultimately calls out the AEW World Tag Team Champions. Then we return inside the arena. Excalibur and the commentary team inform us they'll have a follow-up on that call-out from FTR to the Lucha Bros.
So I guess we're probably going to get a tag title match, eh?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Will it be announced soon?
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't it already get announced?
Not yet. Not at this time.
Yeah. I hope FTR gets the belts, Ben. I want to see the belts back on them. I love FTR. They're so good.
The only thing is, it's just Lucha Brothers just got the title.
I know. It hasn't been that great of a run yet.
I know. Well, it's because they've been feuding with FTR the entire time. Yeah. I think if anything, you might need to have them lose and kind of lay this feud to rest for a little bit. Let them face a couple other teams, and then maybe FTR could come back and take the titles back from them.
That Full Gear match, there wasn't much of a follow-up on the fact that the wrong FTR member, it was Cash Wheeler, got pinned wearing the mask when it was Dax Harwood was the legal guy.
They did do a thing on Dynamite this week, though.
Oh, did they?
They did a little spot, like an interview vignette type thing. Also,
to explain it or whatever?
Yeah,
that was FTR saying, like, you didn't really beat the legal man.
That's right. Right. More or less. Dax doing it. But there's a whole bunch of, like, background stories, I guess, if you're following with the FTR, right? Because I think it's this weekend that actually happens. The AAA comes out, and it's Lucha Bros versus FTR for the AAA titles. Coming out of that, then we'll find out a little later what happens, but there is actually acceptance.
Did you hear, too, apparently in the Full Gear tag title match, I think it was Dax Harwood got, like, legit knocked loopy, and that had part to do with why the finish seemed a little rushed or sloppy.
Oh, yeah, you've seen it, too, in his eyes, right? Yeah. I think we talked about it when we reviewed
like a Ray Phoenix kick or something like that. Don't quote me exactly what happened, but I heard Dax got knocked legit, like, pretty silly in that match.
And we can actually go back to the Bobby Fish thing too. I forgot about this as well. Bobby Fish is, since Kenny Omega gave up the Triple A heavyweight title, he's now on a three-way for the Triple A title.
Yes, I saw who else is in it. Was it Bobby Fish and there was another AEW
Viking
El Vikingo or something like that.
That's right. And
was it Andrade?
Yes, Andrade.
Andrade.
Yes.
So it's a triple threat for the vacant Triple A title.
Adam Cole actually did a big vignette on it as well, saying that they have to have some representation, so on and so forth. I pick Bobby Fish, you go do it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. See, yeah,
you see that online.
Okay, cool.
Sorry about that.
So maybe that'll be Andre's chance to have that title, which he maybe should have had.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying they should have done the title switch when they had the chance with Kenny.
Yeah.
I guess in hindsight, maybe, but...
Well, I mean, Andrade is like a huge name for AAA, right?
He's
like,
not, you know, signed to them, though, either. No, I think that was part of it. It's not like AAA, whatever. just going to get him on the regular basis for...
No, I know.
Kenny only wrestled like 4 times in like 3 years or something down there anyway, too, right?
Yeah, exactly, so...
But anyway...
But moving on from there, this is where we find out that Tony Nese will get the TNT title shot next week. Was it Rampage or Dynamite? I can't remember.
Rampage.
It was Rampage, right? Yeah, it's going to be...
Nice.
The announcement of the first match of Rampage next week, they say on this card today.
Cool.
Oh, really? That's actually cool. They're telling us it's the first match. Usually it's just
this is the first match they announced for Rampage next week.
Yeah, we'll get 2 more during the week.
The other one is FTR and Lucha Brothers.
Oh, there's already 2 matches announced?
Yeah, there's already 2 matches, so the third match hasn't been announced yet.
It'll probably be a TBS tournament match or something.
TBS tournament match is happening on Dynamite. Chris Statlander versus Nyla Rose, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Ruby Soho.
Ruby Soho. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
the winner faces Nyla Rose.
But for some reason, I don't think there'll be a third match next week because the match that got announced second was the FTR versus Lucha Bro in a 2 out of 3.
Oh, that's right. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
For some reason, I don't know if an hour show, if you're going to have 3 matches.
Give me 20 more minutes of MJF and CM Punk on the mic.
There you go.
Right.
That being said, it does harken back to like FTR having probably one of the best 2 out of 3 falls match for a company that we shall not name.
Against DIY?
Yes.
That match was in Toronto, wasn't it?
Correct. Me and Randy sitting in the nosebleeds just yelling at people.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to that.
Did you
think
see
I'd
that?
Sell my tickets or something.
He sold them to me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, no problem, guys. I think I had to work
or
something.
We had a great time.
Moving up, we got our second match of the show. It's the Black Friday deal match, Riho versus the champ, Britt Baker. And if Riho wins this match, she gets a guaranteed future title match. And Britt Baker's out first. We got the pyro, the big entrance with Rebel and Jamie Hayter. And if you guys have noticed, there's been some subtle tension between Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker that's been teased recently.
Yeah.
So I think don't be surprised if... Jamie breaks off from that group and they have a match somewhere in there between Britt and Jamie. But
I can see that.
As the match starts, Winter is Coming is plugged for December 15th. And Taz and Starks remember Sting showing up last year, and because it was Team Taz that was interrupted by Sting.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I think Team Taz said like they'd had no idea Sting was going to be there in part of their segment. Like the lights went out and I think it was Cage or Starks or someone was like, didn't know what the hell was going on first. Yeah.
That makes sense.
But yeah, almost 1 year since the debut of Sting. And we're reminded as well that Riho was the first ever AEW women's champion. So trying to put her up as a credible challenger here in this match. A couple roll-ups for near falls to start. Baker goes for the lockjaw right away, but Riho escapes only to get attacked by Britt's crew on the outside. Riho uses her athleticism with a couple drop kicks and knocks Britt Baker to the outside, where they all just kind of stand around nice and conveniently and Riho to climb the top rope and hit a crossbody down to them on the floor.
Hold on. I'm climbing up the ropes. Hold on.
Right. There's a way to do these spots where it doesn't look so contrived, but like it was so early in the match and like not nearly enough offense where like Baker should have been worn down and weakened to not notice this type of move coming. It was a little, again, if you're going to nitpick AEW, like I hate everyone standing around waiting to catch.
That does happen a lot.
It happens a lot. But the crowd's chanting, let's go Riho DMD. So the crowd's into this though. And we hit our first commercial break of this match with Britt Baker in control. Coming back from the break, Baker hits a sweet sling blade and stays on top of Riho. And they mentioned that Baker has not defeated Riho in a singles match yet in her career.
Not once.
So I think that kind of foreshadowed the finish a little bit here coming up.
Yeah.
But commentary tries to put over Riho's strikes and like how tough she is. But you're not... I can't buy Riho... being that tough, and her offense doesn't look impactful like at all.
No,
But she's like, so small.
Yeah, less a problem.
But right? So is like, Red Velvet, but she looks like she would whip anyone's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Red Velvet has a little muscle on her, though.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Anyway, just saying.
I agree.
Right? Riho, she reverses an air raid crash into a Snapdragon suplex for a two count, but doesn't hook the leg. She would have got three if she had a hooked the leg. She needs lessons from the best friends on BTs.
That's it.
Gotta hook the leg for the three. But Britt Baker.
And then you also get a Dominic Toretto quote for free.
And then choked out by Chris Statlander.
Correct.
Britt Baker, she hits a big air raid crash here for a close near fall. Curb stomp by Baker is reversed into a Northern Lights. That was a nice looking sequence. There's a two count. And then the double foot stomp by Riho off the top for another two. So a match is picking up steam here. Riho reverses a swinging fisherman suplex attempt by Britt Baker into a roll-up and a shocking 1-2-3. I was really surprised to see Riho pin Britt Baker clean in the middle of the ring, but Riho pins her. Baker is still yet to defeat Riho one-on-one, and now they have a match for the AEW Women's Championship coming up in the near future.
Boy, did Riho get a Black Friday deal on that one, eh?
Yeah.
Very good.
But
what do you guys think of that? Riho getting the pin on Britt Baker. Like, when was the last time Baker got pinned clean like that? I was kind of surprised.
Probably no, because she won the Lights Out match, right? Against Thunder.
Thunder Rosa won that.
Yeah, well, it was clean when she pinned her. But it was, I mean, it was a non-sanctioned match.
Maybe that might be the last time then she lost clean.
Yeah, because she was AEW Women's Champion right after that.
I knew Riho was going to win this match just when they said it was for a chance at the title.
Yeah, yeah. You're kind of like, why are you even putting this stip on it? And did you see the explanation why? Yeah. It's because in the all-out battle royal for a number one contender, Riho got like knocked under the bottom rope and then just like...
Oh, yeah, I did
see just
that.
Left.
Yeah.
Like, get back in the ring. Yeah. He went under the rope. She just like, oh, I guess I'm eliminated.
Yeah.
And now they had to show that clip. That battle royal was full of some of the worst botches I've ever seen in wrestling. Like, that was really bad.
That was a rough one.
And that's kind of embarrassing to re-show that on TV now.
And what happened after Wednesday with Hayter? I honestly thought Hayter was going to cost Britt the match. So it was good to see. You know, there's
I would
only
have liked
to
have seen something like that as opposed to Britt getting out-wrestled and pinned.
Yeah. But, well, like we said, the roll-up is the most dangerous move in wrestling.
And I guess baby faces do win clean, too. Riho, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I get it, but...
I hear. Moving on from there, though, we got a clip of Andrade, Hammerlock DDT, Cody on the concrete.
Yep.
And that sets up a dynamite match between Cody and Andrade, an Atlanta street fight.
They love insert city name here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fight, right? The MJF voice, insert town name.
It's essentially just going to be a no holds barred match. And it's going to continue, I guess, not so much the Malakai Black and Cody thing, but they're all kind of one now, it seems.
Yeah, it's all
like.
Intertwined.
Yeah, you kind of have like, I guess, Malakai, Andrade and, sorry, who was the other teammate that he had?
Puck.
Oh, FTR. It was FTR.
Andrade was renting FTR from the Pinnacle. He's paying MJF
for their services.
Yeah,
yeah. That's right. But I mean, like, it's kind of all like tied up in this weird like triangle matchup where like Malakai Black is also there with Andrade.
The crowd loves everybody except Cody.
Yeah, exactly.
But for this Atlanta street fight, what are some famous objects from Atlanta that they can use to hit each other with? Like, a la the Minneapolis street fight where Jericho, found every hockey sticks, the Prince symbol.
Yeah, we should have looked this up.
See,
I would have.
See, Minneapolis, I don't get that. What hockey
team? Laverne and Shirley.
Minnesota Wild.
I guess.
And the North Stars. And Minnesota's a hockey state. I don't know. Like, but it was just funny that everything had to be Minnesota themed. But they were hitting each other with a toaster, too.
Yeah.
Like, it would be so
the
funny.
Inventor
sorry,
of the
guys,
toaster.
You guys brought this up, so it's all your fault. Minnesota, Laverne and Shirley. Is it Minnesota, Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Yeah. Laverne and Shirley. If anybody watched Laverne and Shirley at the beginning, they put like a glove over their head, almost like the Howie Mandel, and they put it over the beer bottles and blow it up, and it's like going down the aisle.
I just watched Wayne's World the other day.
Yeah.
Oh. Andrade doing it to Cody would be fantastic.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that's up to them to figure out.
Exactly. But They announced the rest of the cards for the week, so they have the, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but Statlander versus Soho in, I think it's the semifinals of the...
Quarterfinals.
Yeah,
it's the last quarterfinals match.
Okay, so yeah, it's quarterfinals of the TBS tournament. Danielson and Angels.
I love Angels. Oh, I hope it's a great fight. What do you think, Barry?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest, man. Like, Angels, just ridiculous.
What do you mean? What's wrong
Little
with him?
Little tiny attitude on him.
Attitude? What do you mean?
What do you mean tiny attitude?
Oh, you talking about that conversation he had with you that one time.
Well, you know what? I'll let him know now. Fuck you.
Also, Eric, shut the fuck up, dude.
But yes, Eric and Alan Five Angels have a history. We'll tell you a little more on Dark Side of the Elite, being the Elite.
There you go. That's a nice little teaser for you.
Yeah, teaser.
If you want to hear about the feud between Reed and Angels.
Yeah, exactly. They also have Gun Club versus Sting and Darby next week on Dynamite, which is going to be huge.
Yeah, last week's Rampage set this match up perfectly.
Yeah.
And that Gun Club stat is, as a trio, they're 31-0. Colton is the only undefeated wrestler on all the Gun Club.
I don't think he's had a match on Rampage or Dynamite, though. Everything's been on, what, Dark and Elevation?
That's
probably
it. Yeah. But he's like 21-0.
Right.
As an individual.
Well, they're about to be 21-1 next week. That's it. Maybe not, though. Maybe they'll surprise us.
Yeah.
So after that, we head backstage where Mark Henry is ready for a weekly pre-main event split-screen interview. Have you guys noticed this? I think it's like the last 3 weeks they've done this only.
No, they've been doing this since the beginning of Rampage.
I try not to pay attention to Mark Henry. I apologize.
I think the first Rampage or two, they had him on commentary.
Yeah, but he was backstage or something too. It wasn't like a split screen three-way.
They might have started where they were all in the same room and they've just, they've gone to the split screen. It's been a little longer than 3 weeks, I think, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it involved our headline match of the evening of Rampage this week. With that said, we hear the first from Team 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, who talk about throwing coffee into Eddie Kingston's face and doing some other things they did to him, because he's predictable and they know how he would react.
They just wanted to know, did he want a taste?
Yeah.
Did he want a little taste?
Just a little sip.
They're pulling Eric Bischoff on Eddie Guerrero throwing coffee on his face.
Would you like cream with that? No.
Is that a double-double you ordered, huh?
So 2.0 claim that they're playing right into their hands, and we finally hear the Mad King laughing as he reacts to these comments, claiming none of them are man enough to be or do any of the things they're claiming. They wrap this up, and we head to another commercial break.
And this leads us right into our main event of the evening. And Justin Roberts introduces our participants. This is set for one fall. TV time remaining. Garcia is out first with 2.0 at his side. Kingston's out next to a huge pop. I fucking love his... Damn it. I love his music so much. Kingston just comes out with his game face on, all business. Like, everything about his presentation is so badass.
Yeah.
Jericho reminds us that he told 2.0 last week to get chains and nails because Kingston is coming after them. Just like kind of a funny visual. Like, I don't know, chains and nails. I guess board up the windows and doors in your house.
I mean, chains, one thing if you got to fight somebody, what do nails do?
That's what I was like. This is kind of a weird thing by Jericho, but
maybe he was thinking scooters.
I think he was thinking nailing your house shut or something.
Yeah, so like Kingston nailing the window shut.
Yeah, so Kingston can't break in your house. But Kingston and Garcia start off battling for position, treating this as kind of like a real match, like a real fight here. The crowd is ready to see a fight too. Anytime Eddie Kingston steps in there, it's no fun in games, right? It's always a battle. So Garcia's starting slow though, bailing outside, buying some time. Garcia's hesitant, and Kingston starts to finally strike. They battle to the floor, and he's fighting all three guys on the outside. Garcia takes control once they do make their way back into the ring. Kingston responds with chops and a veteran move, the old Roddy Piper poke to the eye. Kingston, he's selling his knee, which the commentators pick up on, highlighting Kingston's willingness to fight through anything. So a few of his recent matches, he's been really selling like a knee injury that he's fighting through, and it just adds so much sympathy because he really sells it well. Yeah. Like the way he limps around in there, Kingston always does a great job with that. We get our last picture in picture of the evening, And during it, Kingston and Garcia are hammering on each other, fighting for a position to get a submission on one another. Garcia's on top of Kingston with strikes, gouging the eyes. Kingston, while like feigning being blinded, swings and almost hits the ref. The ref has to duck out of the way. Garcia's picking Kingston apart, showing off his technical skills. And Kingston is selling his knee, lured Garcia in for an exploder suplex, though. Garcia takes Kingston down, rolls into a knee bar, but Eddie makes his way to the ropes. Eddie gets a power bomb on one leg before collapsing, which I thought was really cool. Both men are down. The ref starts the 10 count. As both guys get back to their feet, Garcia goes for the knee bar again, and Eddie once again gets the ropes himself. Garcia kind of snaps here, doing a little red death, starts hammering on Eddie, getting a little frustrated.
He shouldn't have did that.
Right? Yeah.
Taz even makes mention of that.
He shouldn't wake up Eddie Kingston by starting to flip out on him?
He was saying, he's like, you lost sight of what the prize was. You should have just kind of finished the match, right?
Right.
You
know,
right.
Trying to get into Kingston's head, instead of Kingston got into Garcia's head and reversed the rule on
right.
him.
He lost his focus and blew That's his it. Cool, right?
Yeah.
So Eddie Kingston, he hits a huge half Nelson suplex, and the crowd is going nuts, chanting for Eddie. Both men are slugging each other, and Excalibur says, "It's a firefight."
Little Boondock Saints.
Yeah, little Boondock Saints. I popped on that. And Jericho says, "Look at that square head right there." And he looks like a Rubik's Cube, referring to Matt Lee. And like, I don't know if Jericho knows this or not, but square head in Quebec is like a slur for like Anglophones.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, for like English speaking people.
Yeah,
something like that. If you look it up in Urban
Dictionary, I thought it was making fun of like his haircut, but he doesn't have a haircut. That's why I didn't get, because like squareheads usually like when you have the army haircut. Right. Yeah.
But like I don't know if like he does kind of have like a boxish head. He's kind of like a funny looking dude a little bit. Like
the promo too last week. Remember, Kingston was there looking at him, and when he was trying to talk, he got a fresh haircut. And
yeah.
Goes, Your head is square.
Yeah.
That's what they're referring to.
That's why
to
I didn't really wonder if they knew, though, too, like since 2.0 is from Quebec and in Quebec square, and they're English speaking guys from Quebec or whatever, right?
We.
So, but back to the match here. We get to the finish. It's a big Saito suplex by Kingston. Garcia ducks the hurricane, but Kingston swings with it a second time, hits Garcia, knocks him out, and gets the 1-2-3.
What a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
What a fight.
Legitimately a fight. Like, just a fight.
Yeah, these two had, like, great chemistry. Their styles matched each other well. Like, it seemed like a struggle between the two. There was nothing that was, like, they're not cooperating with each other in there.
Yeah,
they're trying to hit each other and beat each other, right?
And Garcia is normally, like, a technical wrestler. Normally. It shows him how he can adapt to any style. So this was a fight. Like, it was a fight.
And Garcia tried to win that match with, like, a knee bar, right?
Right.
Like, using his technical skills. But Eddie Kingston managed to, like, suck it up and fight through. And he used his brawling to knock him out.
So after the match, 2.0 attacks Chris. Oh, sorry. We're going a little far. Chris Jericho was talking on the mic right after the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And as soon as Kingston scores the pinfall, the bell sounds. We see Team 2.0 hit the ring immediately, beginning attacking Kingston. After they put the boots to him for a while, we hear the commentators reacting to something when finally the camera shot switches to show Chris Jericho throw his headset down, and after briefly hesitating, deciding to sprint down to the ring to make the save. Le Champion hits the ring and takes out Parker, Lee, and Garcia and saves the day for Kingston, which Taz and Excalibur point out on commentary as they wrap up this week's broadcast. We see Kingston and Jericho standing tall as this week's show goes off the air.
Jericho runs down with the big babyface save.
Correct.
That's it.
Yeah.
With Kingston.
Yeah.
Weird.
Jericho. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not so hot for Jericho these days, man. I don't know.
Well, to be honest, after that Men of the Year feud, it's not so much Men of the Year, because Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are good, but it's like fucking Dan Lambert, man. Like, what are we doing?
But in some ways, too, Kingston's face didn't show that he really wanted Chris there.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Like, Jericho doesn't seem like a guy that Kingston would be, like, that happy to see. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he appreciated the save or whatever, but I could almost see this setting up a Kingston Jericho match somehow out of this, to be honest, which I don't think we've seen yet, but or I would be interested to see that.
Maybe one match with Kingston and Jericho versus 2.0, yeah. And then a little dissension, yes. Garcia intervention, that's, and then going into
I think you might have nailed it there.
Yeah, I can see it.
So what did you guys think of the show overall this week?
I thought it was a great show. I thought we had three, like, I really liked the first match and the last match. The Britt Baker Riho match wasn't too bad. I was a little surprised to see Riho get the win and set up that match. But all in all, I thought the wrestling was really solid on this show. And yeah, no complaints from my end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm stoked to see Tony Nese part of AEW. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because of this open challenge thing that he hasn't actually signed, but I think I saw Tony something Nese? On Twitter that he signed, right?
Tony Nese had a couple of matches in Dark and Elevation.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah. Okay, all right.
They were okay. But yeah, Tony Nese next week would be good to see on the TV, at least for a change. He's not chasing a 24/7 belt. He's chasing a TNT title. Oh, sorry, I had to go there. Other show. But it'll be good to see him on it. Big ups to Daniel Garcia again. I was so excited for tonight, and I was wondering what was going to happen with his style against Kingston, but man, it was way better than I expected.
Yeah.
So I'm marking on it.
Opening match was a lot of fun, too, to kick off the show. And I thought the main event really delivered.
Yeah, the very first match, the Orange Cassidy and that Yuta, it was just fun.
Yeah.
The whole thing about the show was fun.
Well, it's just nice to see 2.0 and Garcia back again, only because it's been quite a few weeks since we even seen him on TV. Really.
Bobby Fish kind of took their role.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Until
they
setting
tagged
up
out
this,
a bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Parker and Lee are very good on the mic. I'm not saying they're not good wrestlers, because they're good wrestlers too, but their mic skills
are
unbelievable.
Yeah. If you're not watching Being the Elite, check it out, because they got the Chew of the Week segment on there right now, and they're hilarious.
Yeah.
It's great.
Not to mention, I think they have their own YouTube channel where they do that as well. It's really good. So.
Yeah.
Cream of the crop.
They got big personalities.
Cream of the crop. So, Eric, do you have any thank yous or anything you want to give?
I could. If you can, give us a follow on Twitter at DarkSideOfTheElite, Instagram at DarkSideOfTheElite. Pretty much anywhere you can search DarkSideOfTheElite, that's us. And also, you can give me a follow on Instagram at Eric.Reed90. All the links will be in the description. Randy, do you have anybody you'd like to thank?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. Watch this, Eric. It's We the Dark Order 1 on Twitter. We the Dark Order.
Hold on. I've brought a confetti cannon just for this one.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I take my gold star after this podcast. But you can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Everywhere else, it's We the Dark Order North. Again, this is the free show for Sunday night main event. So if you haven't and you like this podcast and you haven't subscribed yet on the Patreon, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio, and you'll sign up there for $1 a week. We have the main show is tomorrow, Sunday night's main event with Jason, with a special announcement from going forward. On Monday, we have the trivia show with Jason normally and Dan the Mouth Lavransky on his show as well, radio show. Tuesday, one of my favorite shows of the week, Mark Andrade and Jason Agnew.
The Midweek Marco.
Yes. Tuesday morning raw. Tuesday morning cooked. Sorry,
yes,
that's what they cooked.
Yeah.
I apologize. It's a great show. Wednesday, you have NXT Talk with Boris and Matt. Big shout out to them. On Thursday, you've got Bam with Boris and Matt again, talking all things sports and the other wrestling companies of the week. Friday, one of my favorite shows too, because we are AEW marks. We got the Old Fucks with the Dynamite Review. Great show. Shout out to Joe and Dan. I forgot Joe actually has a challenge for you. I haven't heard about it.
For me?
For Matt. He wants you to do a promo.
Apparently I sound like Don Callis.
So, Joe, we will have that promo for you within 2 weeks, and it'll be a surprise edition.
I'm not a carny piece of shit.
And then last but not least, on the Saturdays, they have the Smack Daddies with their SmackDown review. Go listen to Brad the Dad and Greg. Absolutely amazing guys. Sneak peek, we're rolling the Dungeon Dice first, if it happens. So. And again, that leads us to us for the Saturday Night Show.
Yay.
Do you have any thankies or anything, Matt?
Oh, dude, I think you pretty much covered it. I want to thank all the listeners out there. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I want to thank my bros here for joining and talking wrestling with me each and every week. So always have a blast doing it. So hopefully everyone enjoyed the show, and tune in next week and check us out. Until then, peace out.
Peace out. Until next Saturday, I guess. Come in. Join us.
Throw the paws up.
Say something, Steve.
Wrestling!